Welcome back to Philosophy of the Barber. Today is a special day. We have a special third person to enter the conversation. Cassie is here with us again.
Hello,
Cassie. And today we have Courtney.
Hello.
Courtney is a licensed cosmetologist who works at a salon in Plymouth, which is about an hour from where we chill. So today we have a special panel of experience levels, variety. We have the full spectrum of hair professionals as far as my master barber license, Courtney's cosmetology license, and Cassie having them both. And we have Cassie has been in the industry for 4 years?
Coming up on four, yeah.
Sweet. I've got 12 to 13. And Courtney has two?
Yep, just about two.
We count the entirety of the apprenticeship.
October will be 3 years.
Cool. Nice.
Very yeah. Cool.
And that's another thing that we have. We have a variety of education backgrounds.
Yeah.
Because I went to a strictly barber school, you went to a beauty school, and then beauty school's barber program,
mm-hmm.
and then Courtney has done an apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
Which is completely different.
Oh, yeah. I'm the outcast.
So first, what was your experience doing an apprenticeship? Because that's very, we'll say, not the norm, but still a lovely option.
Yeah, what part would you like to know? Because there's a lot.
All of it.
There's
or at least
lot.
The Cliff's Notes, as far as that'll fit into our conversation.
Well, it's an 18-month program. I needed to get 3,000 hours. And so that was basically a full-time job, and then some. And then on top of that, I had to work, you know, at nighttime because of being there all day. I had to follow around my instructor, who was the boss, you know, my boss, the owner of Chic, who I've actually known for, oh God, I don't even know, since we're like maybe 8 or 9.
Oh, wow.
So she, yeah, kind of took me on there, but watching her, obviously watching the other girls, because they all have different levels of, you know, like, where they're at. So I like to see what they're all, you know, their different techniques were. But at the same time, I had to make sure that I was watching the techniques I knew that I was going to need to know to pass all of my tests.
Mm.
So I had to do monthly quizzes that were written out by my instructor, taken from the book mostly, but she would throw a few like salon questions, you know, like greeting people, just like basic things. And I'd have to complete that. She'd correct it, send it in, and I'd send it in along with my hours every day that I had to keep track of. And did that for the full 18 months. And yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. A lot of stressful days and nights. And there were a lot of boring days and not nights, but yeah, very different.
Now, were the quizzes something that, like, the instructor took upon herself to do, or is that something that's mandated in the apprenticeship license? Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
It's like the same time every month, like the, when you first start. So I started on the 3rd, I believe it was around the 3rd. I'd have to make sure that my test was in the state by that date every month. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
They didn't used to be as strict, because when I had an apprentice at the shop, I had two. They didn't used to require that monthly send-in, but they did still require, like, that you did that and that you logged it.
Oh, okay. Huh.
But I'm sure that, given the periodic changes that the state does when it comes to licensing, they want to make sure that people aren't, you know, playing the system or slacking on it. It's like...
Oh, absolutely. That's why I was curious if it was, like, a her thing or a state thing, because like, that's actually really cool that initiative is taken, because otherwise you could just slack off. Or, honestly, for the benefit of the person that's apprenticing, like, making sure that they're getting the education they need to pass their test.
Right.
Well... And that's really what they care about, is the, like, you being competent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what they're measuring, is minimum competency.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But also, it's kind of like with the motorcycle designation that they changed, that you used to be able to get a permit whenever, and you could get multiple permits while you were learning to get your motorcycle license. but they made it to where you could only get one because people were abusing it. They were only coming here for the summer and they're like, oh, I can drive a motorcycle just with the permit. It's all good to go. So I imagine they also wanted to deter that as far as like, say somebody who already had experience cutting hair, but wasn't licensed. They're just like, oh, we'll get an apprentice thing. You'll be under me and you can work here in the shop.
Yep. Yeah. No.
Especially given how infrequently we get inspected, like 2 to 3 inspectors whole state. There's tons of places for them to hit. The likelihood of them hitting you and you getting knocked for that, slim.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did. They came in during my apprenticeship.
Oh, yeah.
I had to make sure that I had my little...
name tag.
You know, my name tag. Yeah. I didn't have it on me. I had it, like, on the station. So they're like, okay, yeah, make sure you put that on. I know, right? She knows everything. but, yeah, no, I had my, you know, had to have my little... apprentice license thing on my station with my face, and they didn't ask me any questions because I don't think even they really know what's required when it comes to that, unless they're looking at the book, because not many people do apprenticeships, I guess. Not enough. Oh,
it's really rare, but yeah. I appreciate that they still keep it as an option.
Oh yeah, I know.
Because especially if you're not like in your position, you're going, you're a mother of two, and right. like you're not going straight from high school to this situation.
Right? Yeah.
Like, it needs to fit within an unorthodox life situation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Work, kids, everything that comes with being an adult. Mm. So looking at when the option came, or I guess when the conversation came up with Natalie, the owner, about me working there, the first conversation was, you know, look into school. And I'm like, I don't even know if I could do that. So I'm like, well, night school, maybe if I do that. Turns out they were only doing night school in Nashua, which would have been an hour drive for me and then an hour drive back. And then I was thinking of winters. How does that go? Mm-hmm. If I miss days, you have to make it up. So I'm like, I already know how winters can be. You can either get like 2 bad days or you can get like 30, and it's the almost, you know, half the winter. So I knew that wasn't really going to be much of an option, but not to mention like the cost of it.
Yeah.
I talked to some, you know, people about loans and... you know, financial aid. And even then, it was still going to be really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Natalie, you know, I don't think this is going to be an option for me. And she said, well, just look into an apprenticeship. Had never known that that was an option. Mm-hmm. So I know my jaw dropped and I was like, what? What? I can do that? She's like, yeah, just, you know, look into it. If it's something you want to do, we can talk about doing that. And I had no idea. It was $75 for my apprenticeship license. The only other thing I had to pay for was like any supplies I wanted, any of my own tools. And it was, the things were provided though when I was there, you know, my hot tools, my shears, my combs, any product, it's all taken care of there. Of course, I wanted to have my own, but the only other cost was my tests at the end. So when you look at the cost difference too, like I don't owe anything. You know,
just happen to know.
That's crazy.
She knew somebody who already had textbooks.
I don't know. You know, I've known her for a while. She was willing to donate a lot of that stuff to me for the cause. Thank you, Bruce. Well, definitely a you know, main factor in why I decided to do it. She tried to get me to be a barber first for a couple years. I said, I don't know if I could do that. Yeah.
I feel like I can definitely see the huge cost benefit for apprenticing, but I also see on the flip side of that where since you almost got an essentially kind of like a free education.
Yeah.
Flip side of that is you had to do double the amount of hours that someone in the program had to do. For those of you that don't know, like the cosmetology program in school is only a 1500 hour program.
Well, and also you have to be really self-driven because you don't have the luxury of a classroom and other students to help, you know, and go along with you along the way, and a lot of focus guidance of sit down classroom time and then clinic floor. Like, it's a lot more regimented in a school.
Oh yeah. Also with, I feel like with apprenticeships, you have to actually make sure you're seeking out your test learning because you're not just running into the things that we cover in the test in your day-to-day life in a salon or a barbershop. It's just not the reality of it. Like, that's not the things we're doing every day. So you have to actually like make sure you're being,
self-disciplined, like, or
you have
like
to be intentional. You have to make sure you're intentional in what you're paying attention to and what you're trying to learn and get into your arsenal.
Yep.
Well, and also, at least as far as New Hampshire goes, I don't know about other states, like there's the requirement for the salon or barbershop owner for you to be an employee. Mm-hmm. Like you have to make an hourly wage.
Oh.
That's required because you're also covered by workers' compensation insurance. So like that's important. The state wants to make sure that you're covered in case while you're learning something happens, you're good.
Oh yeah, yep. That makes sense.
Yep.
But and that's usually why we'll say that there's nothing prohibiting shop or salon owners in the state of charging somebody for being an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will try and do a little bit of an under the table wash going, I won't put you on as an employee, because some people don't have an employee shit set up shop.
Yeah.
Like dealing with payroll and all that kind of stuff, it's its own overhead. Like mm-hmm. you have to match the taxes that are coming out of their paycheck mm-hmm. in order to have an employee. And for just one, it's not really cost effective. So there has been known to be those like under the table deals going, hey, I won't charge you for this apprenticeship, but I'm also not going to pay you.
Mm.
So the yeah. only people are missing out are the government. So I have known those things to be the case, though it's not above board. It's not technically legal that way. But for the reality of like, you know, the cost of school is thousands of dollars versus like, I mean, technically somebody who has an apprentice has every right to charge that. You're getting educated just like anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would be... Unless you're in a place that already has employees, then it's like, oh, just adding another one.
Yep.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I could understand, like, if somebody would be like, sure, you can be an apprentice, but I'm going to charge you. It could still end up being a cheaper option because you are still getting paid to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of those, like, finicky things.
So as far as, like, getting paid at... while you're in an apprenticeship, is it similar to that of an employee, or is it...
It has to be an employee.
So it's literally the same as if you had just been an employee there. Okay,
I needed a certain amount of hours and a certain months in combination in order to become an employee. And yeah, then I was hired, you know, with a certain percentage to start. And then after a certain time, it went up. And after, yeah, and then it goes up again. So I don't know if I'm going to be going up anymore, but... Yeah, same. Okay. Treated the same. I was on the books. I was, you know, in the schedule, and I was able to start building my clientele that I have continued to see for.
Very cool.
Because the requirement is you can't touch a paying client for so many months and so many hours of your apprenticeship.
Oh, okay.
Like, so unlike in school where, it's more readily introduced to you.
Yeah.
But the wording is everything. You can't touch a paying client.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Correct.
Yep.
And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Many, 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 many free haircuts.
Yeah.
Between friends, family, walk-ins who, you know...
We're fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like say somebody who is a receptionist or like front of house staff, you're still an employee. And if they wanted to apprentice, all they got to do is get their apprentice license. And all right, well, you're still on the books, so...
Yep.
Yeah. Huh. It's pretty nifty.
And so during those first 3 months or so, or however many hours, they could theoretically, if they don't have a receptionist or whatever, put you as an employee right away.
Yep.
You're not there to cut hair or to touch, you know, paying clients, mm-hmm. but you're there doing other things that unlicensed people can do. Like, you don't even need a license to shampoo somebody.
Yeah.
So you could start by being an assistant of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped right into haircuts. That's all I did for the first, you know... I don't know, 3 to 6 months, I think, when I became an employee.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Natalie said, it's up to you. If you want to focus a lot of your time on color, so that way you want to be ready for that, so that way you can start making more, because it is a higher paying service.
That
so
works.
I'm like, all right, let's do cuts first. Because like, as soon as I feel like I'm comfortable with that, you know, then I'll move on to something else. But you're right, Cassie, in the way that like, it's, I had to... So I learned so much, so many good things about being in a shop and actually having my own clientele and how to deal with the moment they come in the door until the moment they leave. And I had to go home and be like, okay, now I have to look in my book and find out what I actually need to know mm-hmm. to pass, you know,
mm-hmm.
not specifically each individual month, because it was like, okay, I would give my boss kind of the general chapters that I was working, you know, working on, and say, this is where I started, this is where I stopped. And she knew not to go outside of those because I wasn't really, you know, focusing on anything else. So she would keep it in that little category for me. But it's, I think, the most stressed I've been in my entire life the last 6 months of my apprenticeship leading up to those tests, because I'm a terrible test taker. I am horrible at test taking because whatever's in there decides not to show up in the moment that I need it. And it happens in conversations too. So sorry if that happens today, but that was like, that was a huge thing that I was, it just was, I didn't sleep. I was like, you know, just beyond stressed. I was yelling at my kids. My husband was like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, you know what's wrong with me. Ah! So I was a hot mess. But I unfortunately didn't get to take any mock tests. I had a friend who was trying to get me in for mock tests, but then she left the school. So then it was harder for me to try to get in there.
Yeah.
So I had to look at YouTube, and that's where I spent most of my time for those last few months, was hoping, praying, you know, crossing my fingers that I was getting the information I actually needed for my tests.
I was
going to
say, like, that you were watching, watching the right mock practice video that leads you in the right direction.
Yeah, there are none for New Hampshire. So I had to look at...
wouldn't be?
No, not at all. Not for any of them.
Why would there be?
Not for nails, for hair. Yeah, no, none of it. So
well, it also changes so often.
Yeah,
that is, like, within 6 months of that video being posted, it's going to change.
So often, yeah. But I found some, I don't remember the name of the guy, but he had been in the industry for like 40 years, and all he does now is puts up the information you need to help pass your tests. And he's like, these are the things you're going to want to focus on, because it's going to be on the test, like, indefinitely. It is going to be on there. You know, like sanitation, that's not an option, you know, where they, it's like they pull from random categories.
That should be like the first thing you learn.
Yes.
Before you touch anybody, it's like, you need to learn how to clean things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I focused so much of my time leading up to that on like making sure I knew every little thing that was like an important thing, obviously, that I would have to know, because I knew it was going to be on there. But there were a few other categories, and then, you know, strategies of like how Brie actually told me, like, what you narrow down to two. And then out of those two, which one has, you know, the most description or the longest explanation. Yes, it locked in there. Thank you. And the process of elimination and that whole thing became so much easier between his advice and Bree's advice. And I still had to make sure I knew the information. It wasn't just going to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, definitely super helpful. But I, you know, I don't know. I got through it and it...
How was your practical from the apprenticeship standpoint?
Like, I was just going to ask.
So this is funny. Jen from Hello Hair, she was in, I think, about 4 or 5 months before I took my test. And before she, I think while she was at the salon giving us education, her and her husband, she said something about having multiple apprentices in her shop. So I knew I wanted to ask her, like, how did, you know, what did they do? How did they? And she said two things: look professional, act professional, don't wear sweatpants. I'm like, those are the two things I need to make sure that I know the most. She goes, yep. Because everything else, as long as you understand the perms and the cuts and, you know, 90 degrees, whatever, like all the basic things, look professional. Look like you know what you're doing and you're going to do just fine. And just having that, like, I don't know, that demeanor of, I know what I'm doing, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm just, you know, like, coming back into it or whatever. I don't know. I had to pretend.
Like a false sense of confidence, just like a fake it till you make it.
And I'm watching people around me going, why are they doing that? Something's, they don't know what the hell? Like, it was very interesting. And I passed, obviously. I don't think you don't get a number with your practical. You don't get, like, a percentage you got right type thing. It's pass or not.
Really? No, you get a percentage.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I
wonder
if I could go search for that, because I was looking for it.
But, yeah, you get a number.
But I was like, I know that I messed up over here, but did they see it? You know, and it was things that I knew immediately after. Okay, oops, I didn't put the cotton around before I did the saturation.
Yeah. I'm curious how many, like, because I have seen a lot of barbers from different schools when I tested for all three of the licenses. Some of them brought copious amounts of things because only going by the list of things can bring. It's not about what you can bring. It's about what you need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at least my school was very good at going, these are the things, like really teaching you, this is how you need to pack your toolkit. Yep. You have things in plastic bags. You have only what you need and maybe a backup of like an extra neck strip in case you drop it. Yes. An extra comb in case you drop it. Yep. That kind of thing. But like, so many people, and even the container of what you bring is like, why are you bringing something with a zipper?
Tote. Someone brought an entire Rubbermaid tote.
Oh, that, yeah, there were a few.
It was mind-boggling to me.
That makes more sense to me than a zipper, like a luggage.
Fair. But like my school was same, very, very thorough in making sure we didn't have a bunch of extra mess in our bags, all the way down to lining our bag in the order of the client, so that way as soon as we open our bag, it's just the next bag that comes out. You don't even have to think about it.
I had my Ziploc bags all labeled and I had them like standing kind of like upright inside of my bag,
like a little file folder.
So I just have to grab the next one, and I had my extra towels over here, just extra, you know, extra extra even though you bring extra. But there were definitely people scrambling, not having anything organized at all. And they went to school and I didn't. And I had to search for that information. And thankfully, a few of the girls just got recertified or just, you know, graduated recently. So they were like, oh, yeah, you need your bags with like the labeled, you know, for your trashes and stuff, and just keep that in there. So that, in combination with some YouTube videos from, I don't even know where it was, Florida, maybe, was helpful. But all these other people looked like they didn't even know what they were doing. So it made me feel better.
I feel like it really boils down to whether you're in an apprenticeship or in a school situation or not, how much you really want it. Because like, I was taught the same things as everyone else in my class. We prepped, we did the same mock boards, and I would still be in a room with my classmates and they're fumbling.
Ugh.
So it really is dependent on the person. Like you wanted this, you were driven for it. Like you knew that this is what you needed to do to make that next step. So you searched for all that information. Whereas like, I was in a classroom setting, so it was all given to me. But like, that means I still had to harness it and use it and then utilize it. And some people just don't. It's just not.
I think they can coast through
it. And then at the end, figure it out. And they're going, oh, crap, I should have been paying more attention.
Well, and
but how successful are they going to be in the real world after that?
Right. Well, and I mean, your school required at the beginning of your programs to let you know the statistics of the success of entering the industry. Do you remember what that was?
No. God, no.
But it was probably
low. It was a very high 40% success rate.
Or less actually stay in the industry after graduation.
Yeah.
And they're required to tell you that because they are a Title IV school, so they get federal government aid. So that is a requirement by the federal government if they're going to give you money.
Yeah, it wasn't a very high number at all.
I think it's still about that. That came up in one of the videos that I was watching, and I'm like, oh, I did not know that until right now. It's probably somewhere in my book, right?
Well, and
but I didn't.
And that's like, it's an important thing to know and realize once you've gone through the entire testing process, going, oh, this makes more sense now. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Oh, my practical test for my cosmetology license was wild. My mannequin stand exploded.
What?
I like
went exploded.
The lever, the mechanism that like clamps it, the part that like the mannequin head sits on and like swivels around.
The ball joint.
The ball joint right there exploded. Pieces flew on the ground right when I was setting up for my haircut. So I just had to do my entire haircut with the mannequin head sitting on the table.
Yep.
I had my elbow on the head to help give me tension. I just had to do what I had to do. And they, one of the things my teachers always told us is make it work. Just make it work. Always think about the client's safety, your safety, sanitation, and just make it work. Just get it done. They don't care how you do it as long as you do it safely. They just want to see that you can be safe with your client.
Yep.
I still got, I think, like a 93 on that practical. Like, I did really well on that practical, and it literally was a mess. The haircut was terrible. I didn't even get to finish, because it's very hard to cut a wobbly head like that.
Oh, yeah.
So, during my barber one? Was it my barber one? Maybe it was my master barber. Too many tests. my mannequin head popped off my stand and fell into my trash bucket.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You threw your client in the trash.
I sanitized them with a barbicide wipe. Yeah! It was fine. But I did know somebody who was ahead of me in barber school that did his master barber without a mannequin stand because he had forgotten it.
Oh,
so he had to do the entire perm situation without a mannequin stand.
Oh my God.
Talk about talent.
That's impressive. I remember a friend of mine, she forgot her hot tool.
Mm.
So she used a highlighter and just wrapped the hair and just showed the maneuver
that
everything
barrel.
Was safe. Yeah.
Yep.
She just did it. Made sure she tested it on the paper and all the stuff. And,
wow.
And they were totally fine with that.
I was very happy that when I took the barber test, because curling irons used to be the elective service that barbers had to do. Thankfully, they changed that before I entered barber school. and so they did a facial massage instead.
Oh.
And now they've removed that and made it mandatory to be a blood spill procedure. Because I would say from a priority standpoint, you really want to know that somebody knows that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when somebody actually cuts themselves during the test.
Well, especially since the proctor's judging can't really tell how well you're massaging a face, but they can see how well you can put a Band-Aid on your own finger.
Right.
Yep.
Some things are more objective than others.
Yes.
Mm.
But, like, I think probably all three of our testing experiences are different, and that's how often they change things. Mm-hmm. Like, when I tested, there was no requirement to simulate a corded clipper, because all of us had cordless clippers.
Oh, yeah.
Now that's a requirement. We didn't have the three separated receptacle areas of trash.
Oh.
Laundry
items needing sanitation and laundry. Yeah, we just had trash. Everything went to the trash.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, so like some things have changed, some things have stayed the same. And like now you're only required to demonstrate half of a shave rather than the full 14 strokes.
Correct. Yeah,
because it used to be a full 14 and we had to like lock eyes with the proctor.
Oh,
be like
creepy.
14, because 14 is so quick on a mannequin, you're just like swoop, rather than in real life it's like six swoops.
Yeah.
They grow hair all the way around here. Mm. So it's like, make eye contact before you do. So you go, you look at me. Look at me.
Yeah.
Swoop. Because otherwise, if they don't see you do it, they can knock you a point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of the things I was actually told is like, you want to make sure they see you performing your service that they're expecting to see you do correctly. Because if they don't see it, they can mark it that you didn't do it right.
Correct.
And there were two. There were two proctors. I think there were... I counted like 28 people in the conference center. And I'm looking around at the other, you know, students going, am I supposed to wait until the proctor comes back around from that side of the room over here to see me? But one of them definitely was a new proctor because she was asking lots of questions, you know, from the other one. And I was glad she was in my area more than the other one because I don't think either of them were actually paying attention. If I had done what I was told and like wait till they come over, I wouldn't have been able to finish any of my services because there were so many of us and very few of them. So that freaked me out, but I just did it. Just did what I needed to do. Hope that they saw.
It's funny because as you were talking about our different experiences that we had because of time change, I was about to say how grateful I am that I didn't have to experience the big rooms full of people. And so now that you said that, they're obviously back to
the big rooms
again. I was in the middle of a COVID limbo, so there was only, I'd heard about the horror stories of like 50 people. It's literally, they fill the conference room full of people. It's just like 50 plus people everywhere, and they're all testing at the same time.
Yep.
So like that's what I was mentally terrified for.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of COVID and everything, there was maybe 12 people.
Wow.
That's what the average barber exam would be when I went through, because
there's just not a lot.
Well, and Empire hadn't really launched a huge, I think they maybe had one barber program.
Oh,
like,
okay. So
it wasn't
still
in
very,
Hooksett yet. Like, it wasn't big yet.
Yeah.
So like we were basically the only school in the state during that time. So there wasn't a ton of barbers going through. There there were some Empire people, so it was nice to see like the difference in education when we're all getting tested at the same time. But yeah, it was always like all of the cosmetology people are going into this giant conference room, and like the handful of barbers are going over here.
My barber one was even smaller. Like my master barber one. What I did love about that is it was most of my class. We were just all in there together. I was like, this could either be really good or really bad because you guys distract me a lot. I was like, I'm just going to keep my back to all of you.
Well, and even for my master barber one, the proctor forgot to do the facial massage section.
Shenanigans.
The entire section. So anybody who was there for only barber one, because for master barber, it's all the three services that for barber one, you all do first. And then all the barber ones are dismissed, and those who are staying for master barber stay for the following two sections.
Oh.
To do all the chemical stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the facial massage was supposed to be, I can't remember if it was supposed to be second or third, but
towards the beginning.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, I even, as I was like, so should I put my facial massage items away now?
Oh, right. Oh yeah, because you don't want to get docked points if you're like, moving, right? Because if you were to put it away, well, and then you're still supposed
to clean up, and I'm like,
yeah,
you want me to put that away since I didn't use it?
Oh my god.
So that was a I guess you're passing everybody for that section because you did not test them.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. So proctors make mistakes.
Oh, absolutely.
How many people do you think were pumped that they forgot that section?
The facial massage is probably the easiest section of the entire thing.
The reason okay. probably see, bittersweet.
Circles. Circles and motor points.
Okay.
Like,
so nothing intense.
Massaging a mannequin.
All right.
With what we used lotion. Was a cleansing cream. So
okay.
Real oily, slick stuff.
Nice.
We used cholesterol stuff for everything.
That's what people told me to get, and I said, nah. I'll just get some thick conditioner or something.
I don't like cleansing cream on my face. But it's handy because you can use it, number one, to do the step of cleansing the face. But if you throw a label on it that says massage cream, it also doubles as a massage cream.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can use it for the protectant for the perm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think
barrier
that's
cream.
What I, yeah.
That was the other one.
Yeah.
That's what my conditioner was. I used for everything. I made the mistake of using food coloring to dye the different ones for, like, you know, perm solution.
We did that too.
And, but I hadn't checked it. It was in my thing all nice and, you know, ready to go. And I left it in there for a few days. I had it all prepped. And I got it out. And it was, like, starting to separate and, like, get thick. And I'm like, wow. Didn't think about checking to see that reaction with the with the food coloring and the conditioner, which was just from like the Dollar Tree because I'm not spending anything.
Suave VO5.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. Can't get that smell out of my nose. That's in all the things in that bag now. Oh, good stuff. No, but I just used Vaseline for a barrier cream.
Yep.
Globbed it on like they said. Make sure that they can see it. Okay. It was so thick.
That was the nice thing about the cleansing cream is it's white.
Yep.
You go, meh. Because, I don't know, do you guys just do one panel for the perm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just, like, bottom of the nape.
But I think just to, like, the occipital bone, I don't even think it was the whole way down.
Really?
I don't think so.
We had to do a whole back section.
Yeah, it was, yeah. But I don't think it was the entire mohawk, you know, like section. I think
just from the crown back. Down.
Okay,
to the
it was. I knew it wasn't the whole thing.
Yeah,
so
top okay. quadrant was foils.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, not my problem.
Fair.
I don't do that.
Nope.
I love it.
Yeah, because for the chemical services, we had to use the mannequin head and, like, break it into quadrants for all that nonsense.
The relaxer.
Well, so we had the four quadrants to do a virgin, lightener retouch, relaxer virgin, relaxer retouch, I think, something like that.
Wow.
So that was our four quadrants, and I'm pulling this out of, like, 12 years ago, so bear with me.
It's impressive.
But yes, because I remember the fourth quadrant, we had to make sure to demonstrate smoothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
with like the back of the comb.
Yes, to remove the excess.
But like the important part of was the virgin ones was to make sure to outline the quadrant first.
Oh.
And then do your sections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. See, I still remember.
So glad I don't have to go through that again.
But we just used gel.
Oh, okay.
For that entire thing.
Wow.
Well, because we also use squeeze tubes. We didn't use bowl and brush.
Oh.
It was because we would just section that way, squeeze it on, apply with fingers.
Yep.
That's all you needed to do.
Oh.
It made everything way easier for, like, packing.
You just reminded me of when you said the gel and, you know, using your fingers to smooth it through. I had the worst experience with the hand sanitizer that I brought. Because it was my mom. I didn't have any. And I was like, I have to run out, you know, tonight to get some if I don't have any. Because I don't have time in the morning. Because I had to leave at, like, 4:30 in the morning to get there. So, or, like, be up at 4:30. And that's early for me. So my mom's like, oh, I have some. It's probably, like, 8 years old. But it's hand sanitizer. I go, yeah. And I was actually excited because it was aloe hand sanitizer. Don't ever use that, guys. Don't ever use a moisturizing hand sanitizer during your test because it doesn't come off your hands and it just adds layers and layers and layers of real good moisturizer that doesn't come off and everything sticks to your hands.
Yeah.
You can't get your freaking gloves on. And I ripped my gloves.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, obviously had more, but I was like, should I just keep these ripped ones on and put my hand into the other glove because there'll be some type of barrier between the stickiness? The entire time I was like, I just need to wash my hands. Like, I just need to wash my hands. And I was so tempted to take my spray bottle and, like, you know, wash my hands with my spray bottle just to get the stickiness off, but it's the only hand sanitizer I had.
Did you take a box of tissues?
No.
Oh, that was, like, standard for us, because
box of tissues.
From a sanitation standpoint, like, I'm not going to have a hand towel. So, if ever we needed to, like, say we're lathering somebody up for a shave, all right, well, getting lather in somebody's ears, eyes, or nose if you're a mannequin, not wrong. Leaving it there is wrong.
Uh-huh.
So, for a sanitation standpoint, having a disposable wipe, like a tissue, is really handy.
Mm.
So, especially in the case of, like, that, tissue would have been real handy to just be like, get off real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
was like must. Square box of tissues.
No, didn't require that.
No. Oh, it's not a matter of requiring.
Nope, didn't have it.
Yeah, I think I had a bag specifically for paper towels. Just a little like spare bag. It had like paper towels, wax things, and just like extra Q-tips, just little extra bits, just in a bag, extra bits.
Well, did you have to take a tarp?
A tarp?
To catch the hair?
Yeah.
No, we had to sweep it up.
Hmm?
Murdering somebody?
It's like, were we murdering somebody? I don't understand.
We would like.
You had to bring a whole tarp?
Yeah, we would cut because the conference rooms are carpeted.
Yep.
Yes.
So. And we have to take everything with us, so what we were taught was, like, we cut a smaller tarp, and we put it where we were standing.
Mm-hmm.
That way it would catch all the hair, and we'd just fold it up and take it with us.
I was told about that. We didn't.
Oh, yeah, no, they have plastic tape to the floor, kind of, now, to, like, designate a square you stand on. And then you have to show them how you can sweep and then put your hair in the respectable trash can.
Yep.
Like, that's, they have to make sure that you're, like, doing that properly. That's part of the,
they
your
see
cleanliness.
You
isn't
up.
That so sad? We need to make sure that you are minimally competent in the ability to sweep.
There were a few that the proctor had to go back to multiple times after that only one haircut and say, you still have hair on the ground. You still have hair on the ground. And I was like, I felt so bad for her. She was right next to me, and I was like, just get your damn hair. There's like one little piece that you're not getting, and she can't point it out, but she keeps saying, you have hair on the ground still. I think there was like 4 or 5 times. Yeah, she had to go back.
My goodness.
Sweep her floor under her feet in the one tiny spot she gave a haircut.
I think bringing the tarp would have been better.
Yeah.
That sounds like a much better idea. We had to wait for everyone to use the damn broom.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yep.
You can bring your own.
No.
Nope. Ugh.
That's lame. They should let you bring your own broom. You don't have to wait for like 28 other people. Broom.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You know on Amazon there's got to be like a telescoping collapsible broom.
Oh, for sure.
That would be fantastic.
Travel size broom.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, or realistically, you could have a little hand pan.
Yeah.
I was immediately thinking about those like little ones.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're taking a ton of hair off your mannequin. Like, no. You kind of pre-cut it before the cut.
Yes.
Mm.
And there's a requirement of, like, you have to cut off at least a quarter of an inch or something. Half an inch.
Some nonsense.
Yeah.
What do you guys have to do? A 90 degree for cosmetology?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my mannequin that I had grabbed from the shop the day before. I knew we had a bunch extra, but I didn't want to take any of the ones with long hair because we practice updos often. So I'm like, all right, this one's good. And then I got it home. I packed everything up. I had most of my things packed, but last minute, go through everything. And I'm like, all right, now I'll do like, you know, do a nice even cut on the whole thing so that way it's ready to go and all I have to do is follow it for tomorrow. And I'm holding it up and I'm going, I don't think this hair's long enough. And I realize, no, it is like an inch and a half to 2 inches too short. And I started to panic. Thankfully, I had a man mannequin with me, full on beard, like hadn't been touched at all, nice long hair. And I went, you're going to be pretty at the end of this. And I had to do, you know, like the curl the day before, like make sure everything was like set and ready to go. But I gave him like a Viking, like, you know, braid on his beard. So it was nice and
out of your way.
Yep. I didn't want it in my way, but he was beautiful at the end of it. He was a mess, but he was beautiful. Ugh. Thank God I had that.
So in my school, we only had one mannequin for the whole.
I had to keep
the whole
education
program.
Yeah. What?
Oh yeah, including the state board.
They had to use the same one.
So you had to, if you wanted to get a different one, you had to go get it yourself.
Correct.
Oh.
Unless you were a master barber, so with the chemical services, they had mannequins that had been to master barber state boards before.
They get recycled.
So, right. Whoa. It just needs a good 90 degrees so that it can get a perm.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It doesn't need anything else.
Nope.
So you can just keep reusing it. Mm-hmm. And those were Mr. Sam's. I still have a Mr. Sam.
Oh my gosh.
To this day. I've done a few things to him. I don't think he would be allowed to go to the state board again. But, yeah.
Pretty
so,
sure I still have a Sam.
But Jasmine was our class's, like, model for our mannequins.
I don't remember the one that I had that was from a friend who was, you know, in Empire over here. So she's like, you can have it. Its hair's red, so I don't know what you get to do. And I'm like, I can do cuts on it. Doesn't matter.
Mm.
It's so weird, though, the first time I saw, because I did no research before going into this profession. I knew nothing. But, like, the first time I saw somebody who went to Empire who had one of those mannequins that had, like, the detachable scalps.
The swatch thing.
Yes.
Those are
I was like,
weird.
What is that? What?
Tell me about these.
Those
what?
Are weird. So, I've not seen heads with detachable panel, like the head itself that things detach from, but in my cosmetology kit, we get this swatch that looks like it would be like the nape of the neck. It's got about 5 or 6 inches of hair on it, and we never used it. We never used it. I think I used it one time by taking pins and stabbing it into my mannequin's head. I think I curled it once. But, like, it never had a purpose. I thought it was, like... I thought it was going to be something along the lines of, like, when we were learning, like, about hair replacement and stuff. Because it looks kind of like a janky toupee. But we just never... We never used it. It's just a sectioned hairpiece.
I will say that is another section of education I feel like is woefully... neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hair replacement systems.
Yep.
And agreed. Wigs.
Agreed.
Like, I don't know how cosmetology touches on wigs or whatever, but it's like...
They mentioned that they're an option.
We do have a... in cosmetology school, we did have an entire, at least, section on wigs where we got to go through the different types and the how to, like, maintain them and like all those different sorts of things. But
not enough.
It's like a week long section. Yeah. Like it's not like, something that's just
we covered it in
we touch and go.
Yeah, we covered it in the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
We did do a field trip to a wig shop in Hooksett.
Ooh.
That was near one of the professional only stores at the time, and it had been there for a long time. But it was really just a cursory like, this is what we sell here.
Yep.
They didn't really get into detail other than like people were interested in price ranges, like how much did these things cost. And I mean, my instructor had done his own research at the time because he is somebody who is bald on top, and he got himself a custom-made hairpiece, which was thrown in a drawer at some point during my time. Like I never got to see it on him, but like so he at least sought out that education because he didn't even receive that when he went to barber school. Same thing with like he personally tried electrolysis because he wanted to learn more about it because they had touched on it but not in depth.
Yeah.
So like he had a great veracity as far as like wanting to learn more than what was being presented to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out and found that. But I feel like it's I get that there's only 1500 hours in a program, at least for our state, but I feel like some of those things need to be touched on more.
Yes.
Or at very least, touched on enough to where you can point them towards a door to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not for nothing, and I know there's pivot point as far as, like, cosmetology goes, but for barbering, like, there's one textbook.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one.
One textbook that's published by M'Lady.
Wow.
Like, even, so, Empire uses pivot point for cosmetology, like, that's the program that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Empire also uses M'Lady for their barbering. Like, there's not a pivot point barbering. Right.
They have a monopoly on barber textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Which, given my collection of history of barbering textbooks, I'm really frustrated by it because I go, there used to be competition.
Yeah.
Yep. And now it's just M'Lady.
That's bizarre.
And every so often, to justify their publishing a new textbook, they tweak a couple of chapters. Like, it's the shaving chapter that they tweak. Because I have a lot of their books over the years.
Yeah.
I see where they started to, like, every few publication years, they just, like, switch the shave strokes, a couple of shave strokes.
Oh my gosh. Just, like, flip them around.
Yeah. So it's, like, what was 7 is now 8.
Shenanigans. It's ridiculous.
Just, like...
Just for the sake of.
Yes. Otherwise, wow. Aside from maybe updated... biology, you know, anatomy and physiology stuff, if something new comes out, or like, you know, I'm sure the next textbook will have something to do with COVID in it.
Oh, absolutely.
You think so?
But outside of, because they do update it, like, prior to the AIDS epidemic, you know, it was focused on syphilis, and like, that was the big issue.
Yep.
And so then AIDS and hepatitis became the big thing, so they expanded their section on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay. So I'm sure because of what the world has been through, COVID will then be a larger section in that chapter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just like how like cleaning bottles now say that it kills COVID.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was looking at car cleaner stuff the other day in Walgreens and I was like,
kills 99%
like Armor All wipes or Armor All disinfectant wipes.
Yeah.
Kills COVID.
Kills 99.9% including COVID.
So it specifically says that now?
Yeah. Because
I know, like, before, all the Lysol wipes and stuff all have always said, kills coronavirus.
Yes.
But it never said COVID.
But in very small letters.
Yes. Mm. Oh, so tiny.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, now it's all big.
Ah, specific. So people are like,
selling
yep.
points.
Mm. Always.
And, I mean, even when we were going through, like, lockdowns and everything, it's like, excuse me, New Hampshire, we should probably be allowed to go back to work. Why? Because we work with hospital level disinfectants all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are if I can kill HIV and kill COVID, guaranteed.
Chances are.
Because guess what? If I drink that, it's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
Just basic common sense concepts.
Yeah.
Like connecting dots, man. Just connecting dots.
Oh yeah.
When y'all are worried about water droplets and whether or not people can use hair dryers, I'm over here like, we do this all the time.
Mm.
Nothing
yeah.
should change
no.
for us.
Nope.
No, literally the only thing that changed was wearing the mask. Mm. But, like, the hand washing was still the same. Everything was still...
What we should always do.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, well, not entirely true. Were you working when lockdown lifted?
No.
You were in school?
Yes.
Okay. because schools had like extra crap they had to do because the second round of restrictions. So the first round of restrictions, when they first lifted the line of slightly less than essential professions, but you can go back to work now.
Yeah.
Like, there were several waves, and we were among the first because of our profession. The first restrictions were you can do haircuts only. Had to wear a mask. All the regular disinfection procedures that we always have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And no double booking. That sort of thing. Barbers don't do that anyway.
Yeah.
The second round that came out like 2 weeks later, 2 or 3 weeks later, I could tell was not based on any new science. It was entirely based on two sides being very upset. And so they started compromising on things based on making those sides happier.
Oh.
So it was no longer about safety, like it was supposed to be. It was about, like, calming the mobs.
Yeah.
So wow. They,
just to appease the people.
Right, it was the, oh, you're allowed to do retouches now.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're not in your salon for more than an hour. Still no double booking. Because salons cannot live on haircuts alone.
No.
Like, barbers, we're like, yeah.
That's what
we that's
do.
Our bread
that's
bread.
Fine. Yeah. What do we do?
Yeah. We don't need beer trims for now. It's okay. Yeah. And not being able to use blow dryers because of water droplets. Like, that really limits the salon's diversity of services and ability to make money.
Yeah.
So they were upset by that major restriction. It's like, we can't be sustained like this.
No.
So they started lifting some of those for them, but then added some more restrictions that made no sense. You're like, oh, so for the first 3 weeks, we were just, what, killing people?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have an apron.
Right. Yes.
Oh, I remember those.
I listened to that. Stupid. I mean, I listened to all of yours, but I remember listening to when you were having that conversation and being like, that's ridiculous. Like, what? How does that? I mean, there's no common sense. There's like,
I hated when we had to wear aprons. They did that at the school.
Yeah.
I'm over here, like, as you're talking, I'm like really trying to remember like what our rules were when I went back to school. And as soon as you said apron, we had those stupid plastic cafeteria lady aprons.
Cute.
That just, as soon as you pull it too tight, it just stretches and snaps.
Oh,
and is so staticky.
Yes.
And just clings everything. All the hair to your body, and then it folds up.
Well, because it's just a trash bag in a different shape.
Yes. And a trash bag. Yes. It's exactly what it is.
Oh. So comfortable.
PTSD for aprons. Of all sorts.
Oh, yes, all the aprons.
But we basically, so when the second round of restrictions came through, I had a talk with everybody in the shop. I was like, this obviously is no longer steeped in logic. Here is my proposal, and here is what I am going to do. You are all booth renters. You can do what you like.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I'm going to do. Everything that we always had to do before this crap happened. And wear masks.
Yep.
That's it.
Boom.
I go, and I kept, like, I found, I was creative with the internet. I found bib aprons for elderly folks who can't feed themselves very well. So they were large, but they were paper. So I didn't have to worry about killing the planet with all this plastic that we're suddenly disposing of all the time. And I kept them in the basement. Just in case somebody came through and wanted to make a hubbub about it. It's like, all right, we have these here. Mm-hmm. Put one on. But never had to. Not all once.
Mm-mm.
No inspector came through that entire situation.
I think, do you think it's because they weren't quite sure what they were, you know, like, because of how...
I think then the inspectors they had knew that it was not based in common sense.
Okay, yeah.
Because at that time, like, I mean, even now it's professionals in the industry. They're like, we know these rules. We know the logic behind these rules.
Yep.
Sometimes we know the bureaucracy around these rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I just... Number one, you're going to be overwhelmed no matter what.
Yep.
And so you're going to prioritize, like, egregious offenders more so than, like, the average person.
Mm. Right.
It's like, well, we know who gets fined the most, so let's make extra sure that they're taking these things seriously.
Mm.
For good reason.
But also, I mean, I still remember I had the sign, no mask, no service. It was a very ornate sign. It was beautiful. No I'm mask, like, I no hope service. To never have to use that again.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Even though it was like, nope, never again. I'm never requiring masks ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But post-COVID world, you guys, you don't know any better. It's kind of like people that flew before 9/11. Like, they knew what it was like to not deal with TSA.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
We don't know.
Mm-mm.
We have no idea.
No idea. This is just it.
What is that like? Not having to take off your shoes.
In fact, nope. For the longest time, obviously because I was so young when 9/11 happened, but for the longest time, I didn't realize that that's why that was the way that it was. It just was.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's because this happened. I'm like, that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense.
How old were you in 2000?
Mathing.
How old are you now?
37.
Okay. Oh, definitely old enough to remember.
Yeah.
Because you were like a sophomore in high school.
I was in middle school. I was in science
I'm
class.
Not really. I was in eighth grade. I'm just going to listen to y'all try to math.
And I'm going to be 36.
I just turned 37.
Oh, okay.
If that makes a difference.
You were a freshman.
No, I actually wasn't because I was homeschooled before I went into school and I was held back 1 year to make sure that I could catch up.
Alright, that makes sense.
Because of the car accident. So, no, yeah, I was in eighth grade then. Yep. I'm like, I should have been in. Why is your math? It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. That's why.
Yeah. Your life. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, my life.
Your specific life.
Uh-huh. Anyone else? Would have been a freshman.
Yep. Yeah. So, given that you're coming up on your 3-year mark, how are you enjoying the industry? I want to know what your favorite part of like being a hair professional now is.
Like the favorite service that I provide?
Sure. Or yeah. Part that's not a specific service?
Mm-hmm.
Any section?
I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with the having conversations with my clients, because I definitely know that I don't work as fast when I'm having conversations with my clients and we're talking back and forth and we're really into it. So I love it because I've always been a talker, always had people tell me things and say, I don't know why I told you that. First time meeting them. And I'm like, yep. So I'm in the right place. when it comes to services, I really like doing highlights and like lightning services, which is the opposite of how I thought it was going to be. I really thought that I was going to like all the, you know, crazy weird colors, the fashion colors and like doing all the crazy cuts. No,
I didn't get any of those.
Yes. Not as much, not as much, but I, most of the fashion color people come to me because they see the profile picture on there and go, she looks crazy enough. I'll go to her. She probably knows what she's doing. She's got green hair and dreadlocks. So, no, I love doing highlights. I can focus on it for, you know, a good chunk of time and it be like my hyperfixation and I love it. But if I have too many in one day, it's overwhelming, which I actually was talking with Brie about this past weekend when she was over. I had two very long highlight services that just killed me. And I know, like, my back was fine. Everyone's like, oh, your back's going to die from having these and standing up all day. No, I was emotionally drained and I was exhausted. Mm. So I love doing them. They just,
take a lot out of you.
It depends. Yeah. And it depends. I have clients that come in for highlights and it takes me 2.5 hours and, you know, it's an easy thing. I'm touching roots up, maybe brightening their ends. But then other people, it's like, oh yeah, I take 5 hours. And I didn't book for that. So now I'm struggling with my time because I have someone else coming in any minute. And, oh, wait a minute, they've been here? What? Oh, my time. Yeah, it's hard. So I love it. But time management is still something I'm working on. And I don't always want to go faster. I want to give quality, you know?
Yeah.
I want them to leave going, I felt like they gave me all of the time I needed and actually listened and did the things I wanted, as opposed to just getting them in and out. Well, I don't like that.
That's how Cassie and I kind of feel about the practice of double booking.
I don't do it very often. Most of the time I'll do it with my same client and she'll say like, can you do a pedicure while I'm processing, while my roots are on? Absolutely. Because what else am I doing? I'm going to sit out back and just wait for you to process. So let's do a pedicure. Because we have that option. We have mani-pedis. waxing, things like that. So having all those different services makes it easier to double book, but I'm not two different clients usually.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. That, I don't consider that double stressful. Booking if it's the same client.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just you get lots of services.
Do an extra, yeah.
I'll tell you
it's
what.
It's only once in a while that I'll do a double booking.
I'm so glad that I did not follow through with my cosmetology career. Golly. Well, because when I started my like going to school journey, I'm artistic, and so I thought I was gonna get my painter's fix through color. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm gonna be a colorist and I wanna do all the fun stuff and all the exciting shades. And then there was this science component that yep. I was completely oblivious to. And when I learned about skin fades and got my first skin fade, I was like, I wanna go to barber school.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do. And honestly, once I geared my mind more towards barbering, I was scared of cosmetology because I didn't want to get stuck in a spot where I was going to have to do endless days of highlights.
Wow, that's just, so funny.
And just all that. And that was actually like a fear of mine. I was like, I don't want to be, because I just pictured myself at like some salon in Meredith just doing endless blonde yep. highlights all the time. Balayages yep. and such as. And honestly, like that, all the unknown variables that come into play in the mm-hmm. cosmetology world is also like what shied me away from it because
it can
of
be
my,
scary.
Especially because of my time management. Because once you throw that wrench in there, it's like, all right, now figure it out.
Yeah, yep. that's. I mean, it kind of reminds me of when in my day, when walk-ins were the standard.
That's all I remember from when we first met you. It was yes, only walk-in.
That's all it was. And so that anxiety, that tension that is created by having a line of people or
just
someone waiting
you.
On you.
Someone constantly waiting.
I hate that. Well, even today, all of my clients were stupid early. And I'm talking more than 20 minutes.
Oh, that's
stupid early.
Mm-mm.
They are so fortunate that I am so ahead of schedule.
I don't like that. Yeah.
But also yesterday, all of my shave clients of the week just
merged to one.
Just went all the same day before lunch.
Wow.
So it was, and shaves are, because they're my favorite thing to do, I very much like to give my full attention and energy to yep. them the way you like to do with your highlight customers. Yeah. Like, it is what I pride myself in. So it is draining doing several of those.
Yeah.
Especially back to back to back. It's a lot. It's tiring.
Yeah.
But it's a good tiring.
Yes.
It's not so much like a, oh my gosh, this day went belly up quickly.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know what? I enjoyed all of the experiences with the people that I had. It's a good tired.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. The other thing that I love doing a lot, and I want to get even better at it, is using my razor to give like fun little wispy, petally, kind of feathery, you know, doing all the shags and stuff that they're, you know, wolf cuts and butterfly cuts and all these different things. Mm. I can do an entire cut with my razor mostly without, you know, doing the perimeter, but sometimes even then. But it's so much fun. It takes longer because you're not just, you know, cutting across. You're like hand carving all these different parts of the hair that are just like so much fun. And those are like really in right now. So it gives me something else to focus on that not everyone in the salon enjoys doing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually a lot of them are like, how do you do that? Because I focused my time learning that. I like was really like, I knew it was coming. I knew it was a thing that people were going to want.
Well,
so it's fun.
I'm assuming, do you use a guard on your razor?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have to as cosmetologists. What I was told, I'd like to not sometimes, but I don't think we can.
Well, the only restriction that I know for sure for cosmetologists in a straight razor is you can't use it on the skin.
No.
I was going to say, but I
wasn't aware of the
rule
requirement
that you
a
can't
guard.
Use it on the hair.
Mm, because there's a few people.
Because the rule's not the fact that you can't have a guarded razor. Like, that's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's... The rule is that you just can't use, a cosmetologist can't use one on the skin
right.
to perform.
Which we've had men ask, you know, I want a skin fade. And I'm like, I can fade you, but I can't use a razor on your skin. And they're like, Oh.
Is a cosmetologist able to use an electric foil?
Yes.
Yeah,
do you have... Okay,
I don't have one. That's what Jen's husband suggested.
About to say, girl, you better get you one.
Yeah, I know. I know. I hate that I can't get it so tight. Mm. I try as hard as I can. Mm-hmm. No.
But, I've never... So, when you're in school as long as I was, start doing more advanced techniques because you're like, well, I've got the basics. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Doing razor cutting was definitely part of my education, but I've never used a straight razor with a guard.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
Does that help? Does it make it take longer? I imagine it might help a little bit because you're not worried about hitting you.
Honestly, I would take it off if I can. I'm going to look more into that because I was always under the impression that I couldn't use it without a guard at all. And I've actually heard Natalie say that, so I don't know if that's just... misconception
I was gonna say it could very well just be like a misconception of the they're just umbrellaing it that you can't use a unguarded straight razor.
All about the wording of the standard.
Mm-hmm. Right, and if it's the same education across the whole U.S. I know that there are people that don't, because I follow them and that's how I'm learning a lot of the techniques that I'm learning.
Nothing's the same across the U.S. in our field.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right, so the guard, no guard could be depending on the state.
Some states.
Especially New Hampshire.
Some states, barbers can't use conventional straight razors, which has a really backwards justification because supposedly for sanitation, where I could understand when doing a facial shave with a conventional straight razor. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay, so... when you use a conventional, you have to strop.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if you're in the middle of a facial shave and they have a coarse beard, that razor would need to be stropped again. So it's not necessarily the sanitation for the razor as it is for the strop.
Right.
Mm. Because you can't go straight from the face to the strop without needing to disinfect the strop.
Yep.
However, the justification could be easily made. You just have multiple conventional straight razors in case of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's the...
ready to go.
Now you can strop a fresh... sanitized razor onto a fresh sanitized strop, and you mm-hmm. don't have to disinfect it and recondition it. But there are states that don't allow barbers to use conventional. They go, from a sanitation standpoint, doesn't make any sense because our changeable blades have far more nooks and crannies for things to hide in.
Yeah.
Than a conventional
does. Yes, they do.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then using a stupid, non-scientific justification of the porosity of metal. I go, you realize everything here is made of metal?
Yeah.
It's all steel. Mm-hmm. They all have the same porosity.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you suddenly have a different Rockwell hardness that I'm not aware of.
It definitely would make the job easier because I have to sometimes change my blade, in the middle of my haircuts because the person does have a lot of hair or thick hair, coarse hair. And I can feel it as it's sliding. It's getting a little bit more jagged and it's pulling. And I'm like, nope. It's time to switch it out. And I only, I've been doing this cut for 15 minutes and I already need to change it out. So it depends, but that would make my job easier if I could figure that out. So I'll look into that.
I would say it is slightly higher risk when it comes to possibly putting holes where you don't want them. But it also depends on what cutting technique you're using.
Right.
If you're doing finger and razor, it's a lot safer than we're doing razor and comb.
Yeah, I don't do razor and comb That's often.
It. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
Animal.
Yeah.
Because if you get a freshie and you're holding it the wrong angle, you're going to be like, boop, hole.
Because
that cutting angle that we'd use to shade the face,
yeah.
You do that on hair,
mm.
It's going to do the same thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right through, like butter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know, I just got goosebumps because I just pictured a straight razor going through my skin. Listen, when at the beginning of my barber career, I was probably only a couple months in. I closed my straight razor on my pinky. And I watched it happen in slow motion, but I couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
And so seeing the smoothness of it go in my skin and come back, it was just impressive. It was impressive. It happened so smoothly.
I didn't butter?
Bleed immediately.
Yeah. Hot knife.
And the next thing, it's just miserable. It's just terrible. So now my brain always goes back to that.
I mean, somebody in my school class did close their razor on their hand. Yeah.
Nope. Oh, God, my pinky.
There have been some interesting accidents in barber school from people.
Oh, my God.
Like, so they teach us in our barber school to do skin fades with a safety razor so mm-hmm. that you can get baby butts smooth, like against the grain.
Oh.
Yeah, because you can only go with the grain with a straight razor.
Yeah.
It's down only unless you hang them upside down. It's not practical.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be really good with your time. But so with the safety razor, you can go against. Well, there was a customer, they were pulling their ear down and shaving above their ear, and their finger slipped, and it hit right against the back part of the safety razor, and like laid it open.
Oh.
Oh yeah, it was a sight. Eventually got super glue shut, it was fine. Super like, they declined to go to the hospital. They came back, continued to come back, and it was just like a great story. He was going to go into the Marines, so then it's like, it's a good story to tell
his
people.
His first barbershop war story for the Marines.
Well, when that happened, I think his recruiter was there.
Oh, man.
And so he had to like man up and, you know,
be tough.
Tough in front of him.
Yeah.
So it just became like a cool story after that. He was a good sport. Have you had a significant cut?
On me or a client?
Both. Either.
Using my trimmers, I got, you know, little tiny nick in that little crevice. On one of my kiddos, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And he said, what? And I went, I just got your ear. I said, are you okay? And he's like, I didn't feel it. There's no way he didn't feel it. He was, I think, also trying to be tough because I could feel it. You know, so I was like, oh, just a little. And it was like a good little bloody spot. There was nothing
soft
significant.
Skin of kids.
Yep. Ugh. And it was like, you know, just right there. On myself, no, not anything.
Not
you know,
yet.
No, I've cut myself probably at least once a week, but it's usually, where is this? you know, doing the point cutting and then I just get the knuckle and I'm like, ugh. And then I pretend like everything's good. And then I just wait for a second and then I look down and go, I'll be right back. And then, you know, I feel like an idiot and they always just go, oh, are you okay? I'm good. This happens all the time. Not all the time, but enough that I'm used to it by now. But then, you know, it just like stings the rest of the time. You're like, this is, well, I'm washing hair constantly, you know, so. But my worst was actually a couple weeks ago when I was collecting my shears and my thinning shears to put inside the little bag to give to Joe to bring to the sharpener. And I went to just grab my shears and they were half like open. I needed to fix, you know, like the, what do you want to call it?
The tension screw?
Yes. And that was going to be another thing. If he didn't do it, I was going to do it when he was done sharpening them. And when I went to grab it, it kind of swung open and I went to catch it. And by catching it, I closed it right on my finger. And the skin has finally grown back, but the edge of my pointer finger, just kind of took it right off. So
the level of cringe that Cassie has during the story is so entertaining.
As soon as she said, I started to drop it, like, that was, like, one of the things that we were, like, it was almost beaten into us in school.
Let it fall.
Let it fall. Yeah.
Never catch.
It wasn't falling from anywhere.
Flat surface. Not so much from like cosmetology school. A little bit, obviously, because you're still dealing with shears, but definitely barber school. Because like, you just have to, like me personally, I really had to get out of the habit of that because I'm very
cat-like reflexes.
Yes.
That's what you
I have cat-like reflexes. And so I'm always trying to go for it. But one of these times, it's going to be my straight razor. And so I, as soon as you said I went to drop it, I was like, oh God, then she tried to grab it. I know where this story goes.
Yep. I'll let
then
it fall. They
were going to the
trapper
anyway. Let him fall.
You're right?
Right? Well, yeah. Ugh. No. I don't think other than that I've had any yet. I know they're coming.
There's wood behind you. Feel free to knock. Good job.
Knocked on some wood.
It's only a matter of time. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah. Natalie, she said, you can't, when it came to my practical, she's like, you'll be fine. Because I actually filleted my finger open during the haircut.
Ooh.
Like, so then she was able to show the
blood spill procedure.
And they were like, okay, you know, you're good. Like,
like, does this count?
Yeah.
Can this count as that, please?
They told her that was, yeah. It was. They're like, just show us now, because we're not going to make you redo that with, like, you know. Yeah. But she said it was blood, like, everywhere And so she's like, if I passed and I did that, you'll be fine. So then I was scared that I was going to slice my finger open. No, I was fine.
New fear unlocked.
So yeah. Have you cut? Oh, like, have you, like, with your shears, have you cut a client?
No, not yet.
Have you, Cassie?
With my shears?
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
Gotten close because of some of the young kiddos, like we were talking about. That
like
don't...
to move?
Oh, yes. And that's like my whole body just goes numb because you're like you were saying, Cassie, where it's like, I could have just stabbed your eye out, or I could have sliced part of your face. Like this is
your whole body just tenses up.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you cut someone with your scissors?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
your shears. You have.
Doing shear and comb technique near the ear on a classic men's.
Oh no!
Cut right the ear, but it was just enough. Like, some people have given me stories of like they folded somebody's ear in their shears.
Oh.
Yeah. I thankfully had to not do that, but I definitely gave him a little V, and this was an older gentleman, and he was on Coumadin, so I made sure to, like, immediately apply pressure, and it didn't end up bleeding. Like, it was, like, a little V, but, like, he was fine. I gave him a haircut for free. I was like, I'm so sorry, so apologetic.
He was like,
you're fine. Like, absolutely not. That was whatever.
That was exhilarating.
That's what you say.
Highlight of my day.
I'm going to lose sleep for the next 3 nights. But yeah, that was really the only one. And that's one of those, like, core memories. Mm. It's like, well, you do that once. And then every other time you're around somebody's ear, you're like, nope. But I did have a barber in my shop who their ear story was more the earlobe.
Oh.
And it was kind of Pac-Man-y.
I remember this story.
It's a good thing you're sitting down. And yes, like, she had freshly sharpened shears, and they, like, sharp, like, butter went right, and she didn't even know that it happened. He didn't even know what had happened.
What?
They were that sharp until she, like, put her shears down and went back, and he was bleeding.
Dripping.
Yeah, dripping onto the cape.
Yeah, oh. Earlobe dangling.
Not dangling.
Yeah, but basically
like,
dangling.
If you moved it, it could talk.
It could talk. It could talk. You hear that? So, it was dangling.
So I'm in the back room. I have no idea this is going on, but one of my other barbers comes and is like, I think they might need your help.
Yeah.
So they've got gloves on and they're trying to like apply pressure and whatever, and they're internally freaking out. And because I'm not the one that caused it, I'm far more level-headed.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? I make conversation with the guy. I chat the situation. I'm like, oh, this is impressive. So I'm applying. I was like, all right, I can give you one of two options. One, we can apply pressure. You're welcome to leave and go to the ER. They're probably just going to super glue it or urgent care or whatever. I was like, or we can super glue it for you.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, my wife's a nurse. Go ahead and super glue it.
Wow.
Okay. So we didn't have any on hand, but Family Dollar was in clutch at the time.
Hop,
so
skip and a jump away.
So I sent the poor barber who did the cut. They went to the Family Dollar, got super glue, put it on, and she was so distraught, she didn't even take off her gloves.
Oh, man.
She went there, poor people, like, let her cut in line because she was, like, needing to go.
Oh, man.
Poor thing.
Yeah, but she was a trooper, like, she did great.
She's still
and he came, he kept coming back, like, he was still a customer for a few times after that. But, yeah, that was... I will say that his blood was very similar to what you see in the movie Sweeney Todd. Like, it was oddly deeply red and thick. And it bled through the cape, like, onto his shirt. I felt bad that his shirt was ruined, but...
Oh, no.
Yeah. So obviously, he got a free cut.
Yeah.
And I think the next one was probably free, too. But it was like, I'm so sorry.
No.
But those things happen. And boy, those are lessons you learn the first time.
Yeah. No, I dropped hot, or, you know, it's hot wax, but soft wax on one of my clients while doing her eyebrow wax. I got it on her little fuzzy, you know, like, sideburn area.
Peach fuzz, yeah.
And it took us about 20 minutes to get it off with the jojoba oil, trying to, like, soften it up. Wouldn't come off. And... she was not taking it like a trooper. She was a little bit, you know, upset, which, yeah. But, like, the towel, it didn't matter. It was going to get where it was going to get. the way that she was kind of sitting and I was holding the stick with the wax on it, it just dripped right off. So she got a few extra free eyebrow waxes because of that, because we were like, she's not coming back. And she brings all of her kids to us. She comes to me for haircuts, and I was like, this is a disaster. So the next few times she was in, I was, you know, immediately like, I'm not going to do that again. She is fine. She understood. But in the moment, I was like, and I was supposed to be starting a manicure with my client who had her newborn who was not handling being in the salon very well. And I was like, I needed to get to it. And I was like going back and forth, like, I'll be right with you. I'll be right with you. I just have something over here. And yeah, I'm trying to get the wax off
her. That sounds like hell.
It was. It was hell. Yep. So now I'm like, I won't take it, any type of a wax in between when I'm doing something like that's really quick. If I have 15 minutes, don't do the wax, please, because I probably will get it done. But now I'm in my head. So like,
yeah,
That whole Murphy's Law thing. So what's your goal for this year in the profession? Like, what's your main aim? What you want to work on?
My main aim, I definitely want to feel more confident in formulating color because I thought it was going to be a breeze, and it is not a
science.
Breeze.
Science,
yeah. Chemistry. I thought I was going to love all that, which is why I'm saying, like, highlighting is my favorite right now because color scares me a little bit because you.
Bleach is fine, but color pigments?
I know. She's like, I'm fine with toning. Yeah, you're cool with toning, but you're not cool with color.
Well,
okay, that's as much of a friggin' mystery.
It depends. If they want
my I use the same formula. Until she recently started doing my hair, I use the same dadgum formula on my hair every MF in time. Yep. I've done it for the last 3 years. It is a different shade of effing blonde every time.
Yep.
It's icier. It's whiter. It's more silver than the last time. I use the same toner. You use the same toner every time. It doesn't matter.
No.
Science. Hair science. Stupid.
Yep. Which is why I will write down my formulas and then I'll use it and go, I don't know why your hair looks more a little bit more. But why is it so warm this time? And I'm like, that doesn't make sense because we didn't get unblonde from the last time and I purified you. Like, what happened?
Sometimes it's the variables in the room.
Time
of year.
Could be. Or if they're on medication or if they have well water or if they have town water.
Mm-hmm. And or if they're lying to you.
Yeah, right.
Just a liar.
No one lies. No one comes in and lies. What are you talking about?
Everyone's really honest in their hair history.
Yeah, it shows.
Dr. House, everybody lies. That's not true.
Yeah. Do you want to tell me about it now or I'll find out, you know, while the bleach is processing?
Whatever the lie is, just make sure it's not henna.
Oh, my God.
Thankfully, I have not had to deal with that yet. Some of the girls in the salon have, and I'm like, oh, no, it like doesn't come out. And it turns red. Like, even if it's not red,
then vegetable dies. Don't mess with them.
The base is red. Doesn't matter.
Crazy. Beautiful on if you can get that nice copper color from it, but don't try and get it out.
I'll put straight goofy pigments in my hair all day long. Those I can work out.
Yes.
Don't give me that creative stuff.
But yeah, I think that's the main thing. You know, going forward and trying to. I guess the biggest thing is being more confident. If there is no one else in the salon with me and I'm trying to color match someone, I always like question myself. And I know that I should, like, I can tell levels. That's the main thing. You look at the level of hair, if it's lighter, darker, whatever. And then you can figure out what they're trying to do, but then it's not that simple. So I'm getting there, but I'm definitely, you know, I want to be super, super confident in that by the end of the year. And I don't know if I will be. I know that I'll be more confident than I am now. So that's all I can hope for. But that's kind of my goal right now. Not going to give myself too many goals at a time because then I'll split myself in too many directions and then I won't actually absorb all the things I'm learning, trying to learn. So
measured incremental progress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pace yourself. You got plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually you're going to get bored with one aspect.
Right.
and you're going to need to look to another one.
Yep.
Don't exhaust them all too quickly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
This is fun.
All right. Well, we will see you all next week. Have a wonderful night.
Have a good night.
Night.